I'm just waiting for him to be ready.
Just informally introduce Leanne.
Hi.
Hi.
You're hello.
Leanne.
Hello. Okay. this is a volunteer position, just so we're clear. You do get free water, but other than that, you're on your own. Okay, so good evening, everyone. It is Tuesday, September 13th. I have 5:33 on the clock. I will call the meeting to order, and I will start with our very short roll call. I am Michael Rio, committee chair. Beth?
Beth Young, BPAC staff liaison.
Alan Cobb, member.
Pete Dunphy, member.
Lisa Avery, member.
Okay, so Richard Kegel's here.
Richard Kegel.
We have quorum plus one. This is awesome. okay, so agenda addition. I will ask the staff if anybody, as it says there, anything new to add?
There are a couple things that didn't make the publication, but we will be discussing, and they are the two handouts that you saw over there. One is Derek's response regarding Community Paths funding, and the other is just a handout on how to report safety issues in town.
Excellent, and thank you for your hard work as always, Beth.
You didn't get that recorded.
What's that?
You gotta say it.
Oh, yeah. No, my bud's on. I'm too distracted to have to push that thing, so I just flicked the switch. Public comment. We only have one person from the public, but they are not here to make a comment, so we will move on. Unless you want to make a comment before we interview. Okay. approval of August minutes. August minutes are not in the packet.
Right.
So they're not completed, so we will skip that one. We're on to reports and presentations.
I will say one thing, or ask, did everybody make the joint meeting last time? You didn't. That's fine.
I did not.
I wasn't here.
Yeah, both of you. Okay, so great. I thought it was pretty productive. And yeah. We went over items of mutual interest, and it wasn't actually an official joint meeting.
They did not have quorum.
Right.
So,
by choice, because they had not published. In fact, they needed to ask somebody to leave because they couldn't meet with quorum. So they were invited guests.
Okay.
And Nancy Steinberg did a nice handout of all the projects that would be of interest to us.
Yeah. Only a month ago.
It was only a month ago.
It was like 6 years. It was like a COVID month.
So you will be getting that in the mail. It will be included on your next agenda. I will be sending it to you as an email and including it as onto the next agenda.
There is a lot. We covered a lot of ground. We talked about a whole lot of different subjects. Some of that actually is covered in this memo from Beth about our overlap projects that talks. Some of those are some of the things that we talked about. So it was very, very thorough. It was a very rewarding experience. Mm-hmm. I would like to do that as an official joint meeting again, at least once a year with Parks and Rec.
I think
that would be a great thing to do. Other committees we can talk about, obviously, but Parks and Rec we have so much overlap with. It's a natural fit for us. And if we can keep this momentum going, I think we'd have a really positive thing come out of it. Yeah, so when you get those meetings, do take some time to go through the minutes. Mm-hmm. Do take some time to go through them, read all the stuff, get into some of the background stuff. There's a lot going on. It's a good time right now.
You can also listen to the minutes. I'm sorry. Listen to the recording.
Oh, yeah, it's play like a podcast.
It's online.
You hear my lovely voice a lot. Not actually a lot. I think I didn't speak nearly as much as I wanted to.
I started, and it's very dry.
Okay.
Very dry. It's very, very dry. It is not podcast quality. We need to put some music in there. Maybe some EDM or something.
There's something to that.
I'm feeling a little squirrely, so pardon the weird jokes. Okay, reports and presentations, our staff liaison report. Beth, please.
Yes, I have a few things to mention. We have a new... So Martha has regrettably quit, and so that so what we have now are two alternate position openings. They both end on the 12/31/23, and we will be talking with Leanne today about maybe filling one of those positions. The next thing I want to mention is I updated all the member handbooks. Speaking of members, did you want to give?
I did.
Welcome,
yes.
To Lisa.
I have a present for Lisa Avery. Pardon my bare feet. I need to stretch my toes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Everything you need to know about BikePed. And thank you for joining us.
And space
thank
to keep,
you, my pleasure.
Space to keep personal notes, of course, as binders do, and old minutes and things like that. Anything you feel that's important. Mine's full of all kinds of junk. Hey, Thomas.
Thomas, welcome.
Thomas Falla has entered the room.
5:40 for the record.
5:39, 5:40. Welcome, Thomas. So we really haven't covered much. We've gone through Beth's staff liaison report. We've got a new member to interview.
Okay, so we're on the member handbooks, which is appropriate. Thomas, I'm just telling everybody that I updated the member handbooks for when I was creating Lisa's, and all the new papers are there. You can just, the other one was way too much info, and so this has the updated rosters, and it has some repeat stuff, but if you wanted to, like I did, it's only like 8 pages, so I just put it in here, and I'm going to get rid of the other stuff. Walk and roll progress I wanted to talk about.
That's a fun word to use in conjunction with that. So, I don't remember how long ago I sent out an email to several members of the community through Good Samaritan and the school, CC'd a few people here on the committee, not enough to make quorum, so don't come after me, law illegal, to gauge what kind of interest we would have from community members, and received no replies. So I followed that up shortly after with individual emails from me to those individuals alone, and still never received any replies. So I don't know if they're getting caught in spam filters or lost in inboxes or what. I have not personally had the opportunity or time to reach out on a more personal level.
And then I did some stuff.
And then Beth did some stuff, so I'll let Beth talk.
And and as we mentioned, Martha was the co-person. So Michael's alone on this now. He's got me. To back up, the walk and roll is a walk and roll to school day, international walk and roll to school day, October 12th, which is a Wednesday. And so it's definitely coming up. So I sent out an invitation. Well, I have made some progress with the police department, and we're going to have a community officer helping us out, Jovita Ballantyne, and Parks and Rec is very interested in helping us out, and Nancy Steinberg is swamped, but she is going to send out anything we're doing and request for volunteer help to the Parks and Rec people, and I will send out right now an invitation for any BikePed members to work on the day of. I scheduled a meeting for tomorrow at 2 p.m. So far, Jovita and Mike Kavanaugh, Parks and Rec Director, and me can make it. And we're just going to kind of, and hopefully I have invited also a school representative, which I haven't heard back from her yet, though. We're going to basically discuss what exactly we're going to be doing. And it's, I wanted to ask you guys too, it can be anything. and Michael had one idea.
Let me throw out, when we did do one in the past with the committee pre-pandemic, the bike shop was pretty instrumental in setting it up. And what we did was we had a small group of people, and it ended up being a small group of people. We had more adults than kids, gathered at the bike shop. They had snacks, juice, things, and water, and things like that. They got the kids situated, and then we had police escort up 6th Street to the left on Eads, let the high schoolers, we didn't have any at that time. We would have let the high schoolers go off on their own at that point, so we could keep escorting the younger kids. We had one junior high schooler that went with us, and then they turned off at the same point where to go up the hill. And then we went over to Sam Case, and that was pretty much it. And then all the adults went back to the bike shop and cleaned up and went home. Well, we had a kind of an alternative idea, and I think this is probably going to be a little short notice to pull off, but it would be a great thing if we could do it. From one of the Parks and Rec members, noting that many of the kids that would want to participate in this are in living in apartments. Maybe they have single working parents or two dual working parents, whatever. They don't necessarily have an adult that can escort them to a central point. So we were talking about possibly planning out some kind of almost like a bus stop type route. So we start down in, say, Nye Beach, and then make our way through a couple of neighborhoods up to where the schools are. So we can go along, and you can have local gathering points where we can come along, say, I don't know, like 3rd Street, where there's a couple of apartment complexes there, and then grab some more kids and build our group that way. So that was kind of the idea that was discussed, but again, the logistics of pulling that off are going to take longer, I think, than we have to do this year if we want to do an event still this year, if we can still pull it off.
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
That might be simpler unless people volunteer or needed.
I'm down with that.
Okay. So we can easily advertise with the schools. All the parents can find out. And we have other means or Parks and Rec and stuff. Just basically encouraging kids to bike and walk to school. And when they arrive at their school, they can get some sort of sticker or prize or recognition at each school, the ones who did.
I like that. And because we can still have a small organized ride that starts at a central point and has escort and just kind of makes a public show for everybody. But then we have some kind of a reward system, you know, at the schoolhouse.
Yeah.
Like maybe a snack when they get there in addition to a sticker or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spitballing. But
mm-hmm. We would need a volunteer at each school and hopefully a school representative at the door, just kind of welcoming them. We could talk to the schools about having good bike parking or beforehand, something like that. But We don't necessarily need to do the way we did it last time with helping the kids to get to school. Just like at this late date, maybe just if they do ride their bikes, we celebrate them in some way, or walk.
Right.
And then I have another component, which in the future I'd like to include is if they didn't bike or walk, they can get a prize if they maybe write down or say to us why they didn't, what held them back. That as the Bike Ped Advisory Committee, it's good to know why kids don't walk or bike to school. And that doesn't have to be part of this. It might be something that we incorporate into ask certain grades about that and work with the teachers on that. This will assist us in the future when we want to get bike ped funding for safe routes to school.
To add to that, I would say if we're going to talk to the kids about, you know, why didn't you walk to school, why didn't you bike to school, what stops you from doing it? We're probably also going to want to talk to the parents too, because I'm sure a lot of the kids' answers are going to be, well, mom won't let me. Mm-hmm. So, and then we want to know, well, why doesn't mom let you? Maybe mom doesn't say why, she's just like, it's not safe. So, you know, we want to talk to the parents too.
Yeah, and so it doesn't have to have, I think that's
it's kind of biting tangential off too much to the actual event. But
this might be a good way to connect with each school and find a contact person within each school who can, in the future, maybe we can talk to about something like that, or in some way learning why kids don't bike or walk to school. I've seen another school district that had the kids take smartphone photos of dangers, physical dangers of why they don't bike or walk to school. So that's what gave me that idea. But that's kind of aside for now. Talking about, you know, walk and roll to school day, I don't know if we still want to do a bike train, but what do you guys think?
Well, go around the table, start. Mm-hmm.
I'd be able to help on any of it, volunteer for any of it. As far as the training, I think most of the kids that ride their bikes ride them all the time.
Oh, train. I meant bike train. It's or bike
like an escorted
bus.
Ride.
Bike, I should have said.
I'm sorry.
Stop.
I thought you said training.
Picks up kids along the way.
Yeah. I love that idea, but there is also the flip side of getting home again, which means volunteers or parents or something.
If we had the bike bus, it'd definitely be morning and 3-ish. All right.
I have nothing to add.
Okay.
I'm just thinking through logistics. I agree. The getting home, like the safety of their bike when they get to school. I love the idea of collecting why they didn't, because you get the valuable information out of that. I don't know what the date is, but I'd be willing to help as I can.
It's October 12th, so okay. It's actually going to be the day after our October meeting.
Wednesday.
It's the Wednesday after our October meeting.
And how do you gather the prizes? And
oh, gosh. Yeah.
That would be a logistical thing that we'd have to do.
We have to work
Perks
out.
And,
yeah.
Perks and Rec has said that I'll find out more tomorrow when I talk to Mike, that they will be able to give some things. Okay. Maybe police department, they in the past have given out helmets, but I've already talked to the police chief, and he said they've given out their allotment for the year already.
I love the idea of the vest. I think
giving out vests.
Yeah, that the vest idea came up last time.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. And it's possible we could. I have asked around about funding, like how to go about it. And Parks and Rec has said they would look into it. So vests is a great idea. I'd like to hear a little more formulating how we want that day to look.
And this is the 8th or the 12th?
12th.
Okay. What's the 8th that's listed on the agenda?
Wednesday, 8/12/22. Oh, on the agenda. Did I mess up?
Yeah, it says October 8th.
Oh, it does, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe, since we're looking at basically just a month from now doing this, and you're reaching out to folks at the school and stuff like that,
yeah.
As a proposal, what if instead of actually trying to do an organized ride event in such a short notice, since we've not gotten any traction with that so far, let's broach the idea with the whatever school personnel that we can about, I'm not going to say holding an assembly at each school, but, you know, kind of reaching out to school staff to have them reach out to students to find out, you know, who, how many of their students are walking and biking right now, where they're coming from, privacy considerations under advisement for that. And for the ones that aren't, why? Let's make this, as for our walk and ride to school day thing, kind of more of an information gathering, possibly. I mean, it doesn't really fulfill the letter of the law for the event kind of thing.
There's no rules for that event. It's just a day.
Yeah, it's just a day. And so if it gives us information that helps us in the future, I think that's a good thing. And it's in the spirit of it, very much so. It's not something that I had thought of before. I was fixated on this idea. We're going to get a bunch of people and cops, and we're going to make all the cars stop and be all like, look, mm-hmm. people ride bikes. Stop trying to kill us. Mm-hmm. But maybe a better approach is a data gathering one.
Do we have any idea how many people do ride bikes? I know I get stuck in the traffic of mom and dad's picking them up twice a day. And I know there's a buku of kids that walk. But I mean, you see an occasional bicyclist. But do we even know how many peds versus bicyclists we have?
No, we don't.
Schools might have some of that data already, but we don't. We don't have any of that. And then, that's troubling to me, well, troublesome, because it means that we're uninformed trying to help create policy or change policy because we don't know what we're working with. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm going with let's do a data gathering thing.
I had a funny eye on this past couple of years, helping the county give vaccinations, and I've been to every school in the county on several different times, and special interest with the ones here that are so close to my home. And it's kind of interesting to watch the kids come and go and the means of transportation. Big one, skateboards, mm-hmm. even more than bicycles.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And electric scooters nowadays.
You know, we can't, we could each of us attend a school in either in the morning or the afternoon and just observe. well, I mean, with
staff permission.
With staff permission.
With staff permission. And preferably participation.
I wonder if there's a contact at each school that we could get some info on that from.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to talk to this one person still have that.
We gotta crack the nut.
Yeah.
Sam Case and the middle school have bike racks, so you can easily survey that from the outside.
Great, yeah. And if we give out stickers or something for the kids who do, then that's an instant count, a day of count.
Yeah, with some fudge factors, it'll give us some idea, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So things seems like we might be formulating an idea to meet the kids at each of the schools, one of us meet at each school, or maybe two, and reward some kids. Do a lot of pre-advertising in the whatever the kid parents get. I know when I was an elementary school parent, I got a lot of newsletters and stuff, but that was before emails. Oh my God. So whatever it is that the schools use to communicate to parents, that just, you know, encourage your kid, help your kid, please participate, and we'd love to meet you at school with a little gift of recognition.
Have we got a letter or something that we can send out to the schools? I mean,
yeah, I could formulate.
I'm not up on all of this stuff yet, so.
Yeah, and the whole website has so much, it has a lot of good suggestions and physical, what's the word?
Material?
Yeah, It's got a logo for International Walk and Roll.
Which website is that?
It's walkandrolltoschool.com or something like that, or .org. Yeah, if you Google Walk and Roll to School 2022, you'll get it. And I could send it to you guys too, because I will send you that link. So are we getting kind of to a point of maybe only in the morning?
Yeah.
Or maybe only at the end, only in the morning, greet the kids? Does that work for people? And how many volunteers do we have?
That's the other.
I'll have to confirm, if I'm available, for sure.
Yeah, okay. So if I'm available, I'll definitely be there.
Okay, so we got 1, 2, 3, 4, and we can probably get more from Parks and Rec.
How many schools do we have here?
Five.
Only like...
Four. Or is it four?
Okay.
Four, yeah. This is two elementary, one, yeah, you're right.
Is it... If you, I would rule out.
To walk to school?
Well...
K2. They can walk to school with their parents. Yeah. I mean, it'd be good to encourage that. So let's keep it in.
And Highway
20.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but that would be good to actually see.
Are any of those kids getting to school other than by a motor vehicle? Well, it would be, that would be a good data point. I'm at the mall on that one.
Okay, so the bare basics is that we can greet the kids with and have a school liaison for each school. And I'm going to write down. So, Alan. And Dick. And Lisa. Beth, so far, day of help.
So then we all should be thinking about a product that we can give out then that's going to be reasonable?
I'm going to talk to Parks and Rec about what they can do. But if you have input, great. But I don't know how much money we have right now. So it depends on... we can work that detail out. If you want to come to the org meeting tomorrow at 2 p.m., great. We'll probably be discussing that. So does that seem to work for you guys? And what are the four schools, just for the record? So we got Sam Case and Yquinna View.
High school, junior high school.
And just the junior and the senior. Okay. Well, we got four volunteers, and so maybe we can just choose. And do you guys have choice, preferences, which school? Anybody? Okay.
That's something we can work out.
Okay, so I think that's enough information I need for now. I think we can pull that off. And we can always do other stuff other years. This doesn't have to. It's just to kind of basically the idea for us, I think, is to get more of a connection with the schools so that we can be working with them on safe routes to schools in the future. All righty. So that was actually on the agenda, and I forgot.
We're still doing my staff report.
And
is there more to that?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I did, and the safety, who to call. I had a meeting I sent out an email and ended up with a meeting with the IT group about getting the website a little more user-friendly as to when they find a safety issue, like a worn-off bike lane paint, or I've used this just this week because I found some rapid flashers. That's what I call those double things on Highway 101. Just going dink, dink, dink with a few of them. And I have also, I think I've mentioned this before, after every storm, the pedestrian rectangle, diamond shape just gets flung across the road like a really dangerous frisbee. I've seen two down. So I always call them on that. Anyway, anything you see that might be a danger to a pedestrian or a bike or a skateboard or anything, please use that. I'm kind of depending on bike ped people. If we, you know, we're a good group of people, and if everybody has eyes on the streets, then we can make that safer. And that's a real big part of what we're trying to do as bike ped.
And okay. Who do we get in contact with for this?
It's on that handout. It's either an email or a phone call. Yeah, whatever you're most comfortable with. Cool. And there are a few ways of doing it. So, and I just wanted to quickly say I'm a member of the Oregon Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and I've gone to a couple meetings. We're going to have an in-person one that was delayed from last time. It'll be in coming September 26th, and so far I'm on the subcommittee for local bike ped advisory committees. I want to have more of a connection. We're trying to do a program where we ask the local bike ped committees how OBPAC can help them. And basically that's it. And I'll go from there because they really haven't wanted to do that. But they, if you wanted to go online, it's an ODOT advisory committee. And from people from around the state in various times. I'm the one who is a planner. They have one planner, and they chose me. So that's what's going on with that. Now we're ready for the next one.
Okay. So the next item is a report from Minda, who unfortunately could not be here tonight. She attended the Vision 2040 committee. On August 11th, they apparently had not had quorum for several months, introduced herself, noted two goals in the Vision 2040 strategic plan, A11, bicycle and pedestrian safety and amenities, and A15, the complete streets, that are in direct alignment with what we do. She noted that the Vision 2040 committee is composed of members of other city committees, but they don't have one of ours. And suggested that would be a good thing.
Oh, who suggested that?
Minda did.
In her
report. Suggested that one of us should be on that committee. And I do agree with that. It's kind of an oversight that none of us is. I thought we had one, but it's been such a while. And she's talking about how they're kind of overwhelmed with how much there is to do to implement the Vision 2040 and how it might be helpful if bike ped our committee could pick up some of their active transportation issues from their committee and oversee them, since they're really our area of expertise and purview anyway. I don't disagree with that. I think it's a great idea. So that's a brief overview. She's got a bit more in here talking about what went on, so worth a read.
Please, everybody read it closely.
And at some point we should bring that up in discussion.
Minda will probably be going to next time she comes, she will.
Yeah, I'd love to have her. Continue. I'd love to have her go over this the next time she's at a meeting, rather than us discussing without her, because I want her first person perspective. Item E3, our collision report. I know we have five.
Okay, so we're on the collision report.
All of them
part.
On the Coast Highway.
Yeah, all five incidents happened on the Coast Highway. The first one was an intersection. Driver did not observe bicyclist traveling northbound on the west side sidewalk. Transported to the hospital. Then there were a couple that were just oddball. And then the fourth one listed that happened on 825. The fourth and fifth both happened on the same day, within 3 hours. So the first one is that the vehicle turned into the Arctic Circle parking lot and collided with a bicyclist who was riding on the sidewalk. The second one is the bicyclist was the front right corner of the vehicle struck a bicyclist who and they were transported to the hospital too. And this one was, this was in the crosswalk. So both of them were the bicyclists riding on this, on the crosswalk, and were hit by one.
On 2 in the afternoon, I could understand why they might not have seen the flashing warning lights.
Yeah, okay, so the first one, I'm sorry, the second one that I just mentioned was the Arctic Circle, was the bicyclist was on this sidewalk. The last one, the bicyclist was using the rapid flasher and was hit.
Sorry, I jumped ahead.
Oh, that's fine.
I was just noting that was at 1:59 p.m., mm-hmm. bright afternoon sun. I can understand how the driver might have missed those flashing warning lights.
Yeah.
Doesn't excuse anything, but I'm just noting I could see.
I don't know what to do about those rapid flashers. I feel like kind of a jerk, but when I'm crossing at them, I wait until the cars have stopped in front of me.
Unfortunately, you shouldn't have to do that, but unfortunately you do.
It's like we need to let people know. I have also observed right here from our break room, people who don't, pedestrians and bicyclists on their walking do not wait. And I've seen near misses, and it's, they don't wait for the second lane, can't see the second lane. So I don't know what we as a bike ped group can do about that, but I think we just need to, you know, keep track of these things, and I am doing that, and kind of maybe eventually formulate some sort of...
Well, locations and times, I think, are key to this.
Yeah, yeah, and details.
Oregon state law, as I understand it, is that you're not authorized in a motor vehicle to enter a crosswalk that has a pedestrian in it. Right. Under any circumstances.
They have to be off the street.
I have, within the past week, seen on multiple occasions in multiple places in the state, people trying to push their car through an occupied crosswalk rather aggressively. I saw one today, and I honked my horn at the driver, and I'm sure they didn't ignore it and didn't know what the hell I was going on about, but it was rather short-tempered today. I wanted to get out and say something to the guy, and I'm glad he drove away because that would have caused problems.
Proof now that everybody's back at school and summer's over.
Yeah, yeah, this, exactly.
This is a dangerous place to be. To call any pass in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
I mean, make up your own laws down at Night Beach.
Oh, good Lord.
They can do whatever they want out there.
Also, as an aside, since this is a report from the Special Projects Kit O'Kara with the MPD, is we've been talking about, she asked me if I wanted information on e-bikes, and I told her that, from my perception, e-bikes is a wide term that's used for everything from pedal assisted to motorized scooter type things. You can just be legs free, and those can go pretty fast, and those are almost like a motorcycle. And so I think there needs to be a bigger discussion in Newport about what all the different types of bicycles are and where they are allowed and where they shouldn't be. In my opinion, the pedal-assisted bikes are bikes, and the non-pedal-assisted go in the motorized category, should not be on sidewalks. Bicycles can be on sidewalks or can be on the road. Anyway, so that's kind of what I told her, and but I'm just putting it in my back pocket that as more of these things come up, and if ever a company comes to this town and wants to be renting out motorized scooters or bicycles, then we need to kind of be paying attention to that. Yeah, not motorized, though, yeah. Motorized, not pedal assisted.
Yeah, isn't Bird? Doesn't Bird have like 50 units here?
Bird, I don't think so. No.
No, it's my
guy down in that. They are not pedal assist, and he sends people down on the beach, which is also.
Yeah, you're not supposed to ride your bicycle on the beach.
Bicycle is okay.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, no motorized vehicles are authorized other than government I think there's one, a couple, one or other two or categories, something crazy like that.
Yeah. So it's up to us in the future also to be making those connections of where the beach bicycling is patrolled by Oregon State Police, I guess, because it is Oregon Parks and Rec. Does the is that department in charge of the beaches? And but I would like to see a real good connection between like three or four points where there's a bike, a real easy and safe bike path that goes to the beach, so kids can ride their bikes safely to the beach and back. So anyway, that's just in the future and just something to keep an eye on as if we want to
structure.
A lot of cities are grappling with this, what they allow and where, and that may be coming down the pike.
They had a conversation this weekend with some folks talking about an international perspective on this exact thing, and noting that in certain countries, that if you have an electric assist bicycle that has a throttle, which means that it is not a pedal assist, it can go on its own simply by turning a handle on your handlebar. In certain countries, they consider those motorcycles. And here in the US, we don't. They're still an electric assist bicycle, even though they're really technically, let's be honest, an electric motorcycle that you can pedal if you want to. So more in the category of the old school mopeds with the two-stroke engines. Definitely something that not just other cities, but other counties, countries, everybody's dealing with this right now because there's so much change going on with it. So
there was an article about biking in New York. They have great bike lane infrastructure, but the e-bikes are going 25, 30 miles an hour and creating a whole new class of conflict.
In my opinion, those should be, if you're in New York City, especially if you're in Manhattan, most of that motor vehicle traffic's not moving 20-25 miles an hour anyway. Yeah, get out of the damn street.
Yeah,
you know, leave the protected lanes for the folks that are using their own muscles. But yeah, that's just my opinion.
It's created a whole new conflict.
People.
So we might in the future want to kind of make an opinion piece or something to give to the city council on how we feel about these things down the road, hopefully. Okay, that's all I had to say about the collision report.
Okay. If there's nothing else on that, we'll move on to E4, which are overlap projects from the August meeting with Parks and Rec. And Beth has included an updated version of that includes Derek Tokos's comments on it. So I'm going to table discussion on that until everybody's had a chance to look at them, because I personally have not.
Yeah, we don't need to discuss it. So what this is Community Paths is a granting program, and Herb sent an email to me asking, like, what have we looked at it as a city? Which projects, if any of these projects, could be Community Paths? Basically, Derek's response is, it's here in red, but only a couple of the projects that we discussed as projects of mutual interest last month with the Parks and Rec folks, only a few of them could work for Community Paths. However, it's good, I think, that I put together the black parts, because it's something that, it's a documentation of what we decided on last month, and also it can be it's top of mind now for any other projects. Community Paths is not, for reasons that Derek wrote in here, does not work for a lot of these projects, but we now have a documentation of good ones to keep in mind. And believe me, Derek is on top of all this stuff. He knows about what's going to be successful, what's not, what's going down the road. I've said this before, but I completely trust that he is on it and trying to get us money for bike and ped programs, especially now that the TSP is over and are done with, completed. And now there are some, you know, really good projects in the TSP that just need to have the money. So we're on to step two with that.
Such as our Lighthouse to Lighthouse Trail, which I see he notes is ineligible for community pass money.
Mostly because the main reason is they can't be in the right of way.
This whole thing is in ODOT's preserve of a 60-foot former railway right of way.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different pool of money that we'd have to look at. So not this one. So.
I think they're mostly his first paragraph describes it really well. So read that. But mostly, he told me it's meant to be for community to establish community, not parts of one community. The idea is kind of for more like semi-metro areas within metro. That ODOT can't do because they're not in the right of way, and ODOT has to only grant money for things in the right of way. So that's the reasoning, but he's on it. End of
thorough.
That.
It's thorough. Okay. So then that would have taken us to Beth's previous conversation about International Walk and Roll School Day. Since we've already covered that, then we will move on, and that brings us to our other business for our candidate interview, Leanne.
Hi. Do you want to step on up to any of these mics? You can sit up here with us too if you're not shy. Whatever you want to do.
Oh, we got an empty seat up here. You can sit there, wherever you like.
Oh, the bike train.
Okay, so Leanne, welcome and thank you for coming. And thank you for your interest in applying to the committee. I read through, as I was listening, I read through your application. So it seems pretty thorough. So I actually don't have a lot of questions, but I am required to ask a couple. So I'm going to ask a couple. So the big one is we do have our meetings the second Tuesday of every month. That's when they are scheduled from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Is that going to, will you be able to attend at those times? Okay. Okay. Excellent. And I did know that you are a teacher.
Yes.
So, which school, may I ask?
The middle school. I actually teach.
Okay.
We work with kids.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Is that called the Academy or something?
No, it's Future Bound.
Future Bound. Wonderful. That's awesome. That's really cool. So I'm not going to, your background was fairly thoroughly detailed and you answered the one question that I had left about that. So I'm not going to ask my third question, which is what is your background, but I will ask your second because I'd like for the public record, why are you interested in serving on the Bike Ped Advisory Committee?
So I've been both a cyclist and I've been walking in Newport now for 2 years. Some places are better than others. I would say that I'm averaging over 13,000 steps a day. so yeah, it's something. Walk around Newport.
So that covers questions 4 and 5, your personal experience with and your feelings about the challenges in Newport regarding active transportation. I won't ask you to cite any specific examples unless you want to, as far as areas of problem, because I think we're all in some way or another relatively familiar with all of them. And pretty much everybody who is currently serving and who has in the past served on this committee has come in with the same aspect. sorry, the same mindset that you have, which is I walk in this city, I bike in this city, and I am tired of nearly getting killed every time I do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I live close to Highway 20. And trying to cross that, I have to be assertive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still an intersection, and by law, you're supposed to stop.
Yeah. Right hand turns.
Yes.
The car just don't notice you.
That's the guy. When
it's not just out of staters.
No, no. It's even locals, folks that live here in Newport that are there.
Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, you know, or spike strips. I'd be good with that. I kid. Don't come after me, legal. Okay, is there anything else that you would like to add?
I look forward to working with the committee. I mean, I'm still getting to know the band that were mentioned on the.
Well, you can be our mole within the school system that helps us talk to other people within the school system. Okay. So yeah, what I'm going to do real quick is before we vote on your membership, I'm going to go through our member expectations. That's in our handbook, so you can tell me if any of these are going to cause any problems for you. So the first, of course, will be to read your orientation handbook, which Beth has put a lot of work into. We ask that prior to each meeting that you read all the documents in the agenda packet so that you're familiar with what we're going to be discussing as they come up. Obviously, some of them, as we noted, are very short notice, very wordy. So we will bring them up and then maybe table them for discussion or say this is merely informational, as this one was with Derek Tokos. But do be familiar with the material before the meeting starts. We ask that you attend as many, if not all, of the regularly scheduled meetings as possible. Obviously, life intervenes. We've got more members than this, and one of them is in Europe right now. I'm not sure what Minda's up to, so there's at least two that are not here that would be. So we do make allowances for that, but we have had to call at least one member from the committee after they stopped attending meetings and just sort of ghosted everybody. We didn't heard anything from them, and you know, so that is a thing that can happen and will happen. Be prepared to participate in the meeting, so you know, come ready to talk, ask questions, answer questions, provide viewpoints, that kind of thing. If you cannot attend, again, it is fine, but let Beth know ahead of time because she has to plan this, and if she knows ahead of time that we're not going to have quorum, we don't waste time people's time coming down to only end up with three people here. If you do miss a meeting, please try and read the meeting minutes from that meeting so you're familiar with the next time you do come with what we did discuss. And then we do have a list of goals and objectives, so we do ask that every member and alternate member take on at least one of those as kind of a side project for the committee. So some of those are things like interfacing and liaising with other committees, such as I do with Parks and Rec and the Library Committee, and others have done with other committees as well. And Thomas, I think you're going to join me on Parks and Rec because I would love that.
I've completely failed and dropped the ball on my side of it.
So. That's okay. It happens. And it doesn't necessarily mean, like, we're not asking you if you pick up, say, a community liaison, we're not saying go to their meetings all the time in addition to ours. Just be apprised of what's in their minutes and looking for things that they're talking about that are relevant to what we do for active transportation.
All of the committee's minutes are on the city website.
Yeah.
And so, I would highly recommend the TSP project map so you know to visualize the projects we're talking about.
Yeah, if you look at
written descriptions.
Transportation system plan. They actually have a website. They've got a Google map that's interactive, and it talks about all of the different projects that are within the transportation system plan that is now just being approved, that we've been working on since before the pandemic started. We being the city, of course. Yeah, and the map that he talks about is it's great because you can really zoom in and look at the different projects, and it talks in detail about each and every single one of them. So, do any of these member expectations present a problem for you? Okay. Then we vote. So the question is if you want to just sit in and listen on to our vote, or
you're welcome to stay.
Oh, actually, I do want to explain one thing other than. So we do have a structure where we have regular and alternate members. You will be applying for an alternate member position, and you will be applying to fill a vacant one, which is why they're normally a three-year assignment or a three-year term that we ask you to fill. These are going to be a little bit shorter. Is it two?
Change them all to two.
We went all down to two. Okay, so two. Thank you for correcting me. So some of these are going to be a little bit shorter. And then when that term expires, you'll be asked if you wish to continue. The only difference between your regular and alternate members is that alternate members are, of course, up to the same member expectations of our regulars. They're simply not voting members until such time as quorum can only be achieved with an alternate member. So we need to have four of our members here at any given time to have quorum. Excuse me. So if we have three regular members and one alternate, then that alternate votes on matters. If we have four regulars and an alternate, the alternate is participating in the discussion but does not vote. Okay. So that would be where the seat that you would be filling. Okay. So with that, does anyone have any objection to recommending to City Council that Leanne be invited to join our committee as an alternate member?
No.
Then I will take a motion.
That we accept Leanne as a
Yes, thank you. I will take a motion to accept, to recommend to City Council that we bring Leanne on board as an alternate member.
I'll make a motion to recommend Leanne to the City Council to vote to.
And a second?
I will second.
And Thomas seconds. And all in favor, aye?
Aye.
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 And unanimous voice vote. Okay. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
I want to add that this position ends on December 31st, 2021. 2023.
Okay. Wait a minute.
You ended before you started.
Would you like to re-enlist?
It is
COVID.
each position, you know, it's funny the way this works, that you are fulfilling a vacancy that somebody left. So I don't remember whose vacancy this is, but both of them end on December 31st, 2023. Unless you do something very, very terrible, you will be invited back for another two-year term.
And Beth, I still have not been confirmed, as far as I know.
You have been. I checked.
Okay.
Let's finish up this.
Yeah, the way it works is that this recommendation will go through Beth to the City Council. City Council will vote and recommend it to the mayor. The mayor will approve it. The mayor will then appoint you. Once the mayor has said then yes,
City Council ratifies.
City Council ratifies it.
Yeah.
The mayor's approval, like that.
And then at some point, you should or may get something in the mail from the city saying, welcome to the committee.
May.
As you can see, it doesn't always happen. Things slip through the cracks. But please be prepared to come to the next meeting and participate. Okay.
Great. I want to clear up some things. Yes. So on your new roster, it does say that Alan and Pete were ratified, appointed on August 1st. I found that out. Lisa.
Oh, okay.
Before them.
That's interesting.
Yeah. There you go.
As these things happen. So, with that done, we'll open it up to committee comments. So, if anybody has anything not on the agenda they want to bring up and discuss, now's the time. Floor is open.
So going back to the vision 2040, after the July meeting, when I got my nice little binder, I read through the Vision 2040 and basically just, you know, how it applies to bike ped. And I mean, number one, I appreciate Minda's like in-depth analysis from the meeting. But I did go through and, I mean, yeah, some of them might be a stretch, but essentially made a list of everything that could potentially be applied to bike ped. I can, if that is of interest, I will type it up and send it out.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Thank you. And also, I'm just curious, like, between the bike, the Vision 2040 and the TSP, like.
Okay, why don't I kind of describe what each of those are? So the TSP is part of the comprehensive plan. Every city has a comprehensive plan, and every city by Oregon law is required to update their TSP every few years. I think its ideal is 15. We have gradually been, we did South Beach in 2008. Anyways, this is an amalgamation of the TSPs, and it was just approved. It went through a 2-year process dealing with an advisory committee for the TSP, and it was during COVID mostly, but still tried to get some outreach and input to people. So our TSP is going to need, it has been approved by our city council just last month, and you may have seen it in the paper because a bypass, what's it called? Not a bypass, but the couplet is part of our TSP. It's TSP is kind of aspirational, and not all the ideas are going to be happening soon, and most of them require funding, and they have been organized by which ones have funding or can get funding and not, like, so it's very detailed. It goes down to every street, what we want on every street. And there is an online version of online map that our IT department has put together, which you can, it's not the most user-friendly, but if you're familiar with using GIS, you can click on a street segment and go with that. We already have used it. The bike ped group was allowed to designate some city funds to a TSP project of our choice, and we decided we wanted 11th Street pretty much from the Sam Case area all the way to the Bay to be have a bike lane. So we're getting started, and so that's where the city's at. Is now that we finally got a TSP, and I think the bike ped group is pretty happy with what we're trying to do. Now comes actually doing these projects. All right, so that's the TSP.
Before you go on, too, maybe you mentioned it, I missed it, but under Oregon law, in order to get state funding for a project, it needs to be in some kind of city plan like the TSP. Okay. So,
and that's what Derek referred to.
We can ask Oregon to help pay for, and also ask them to reach out to the feds to help pay for it. But if it's not in the TSP, then it becomes much more of a struggle.
And yeah, so getting grants is really helpful. Like you said, Derek mentioned that ODOT, in these community paths projects, for example, it needs to be an adopted plan to show that it has political and public support. So whenever he applies for grants for items, he will say, this is in our TSP. Our TSP went through a lot of community support. The other thing is Vision 2040, which is a great process that happened, right, ended before I got here. I think a lot of community members were involved, and it was basically, what do we want the city to look like in 2040? And so it's they figured out all kinds of, certain categories and subcategories, and many of them apply to bike and ped. So it would be great to put that in the next agenda and even discuss or introduce if you want to next time. Because that is another buy-in, if you will, that a community wants something. And when the when the Bike Ped group decided on its goals and objectives for the current year, I was required to say which goals apply to Vision 2040. And I just had this long list. You look at other groups and they have one item, but like it's a lot of Bike Ped stuff is in Vision 2040, especially asking for complete streets, which is a newer concept. And I was impressed that Little Newport put that in their Vision 2040. So that's an overview of each of those and how they work.
The Vision 2040 process was basically reaching out to the community for every citizen within the city limits to say, this is what I want to see Newport do over the next 20 years. You know, this is the city I want to live in when we're done. And it was so active transportation heavy, it was almost ridiculous. Like, you look at all of the categories as you did, and at the top of all of it is, I want to walk, I want to bike. And we've had instances with committee members who come in, they've joined because they want to be able to walk and bike around in this city safely, who ended up transferring their positions and jobs elsewhere because Newport just did not afford them the ability to do that. So that's kind of my citizens' take on 2040.
And all the aspirational projects in the NCSP each refers to one or more parts of the Vision 2040 and how it meets those goals.
Yeah. So it was part of the informative documents that went into building the TSP when they were doing all of the planning process. Was like, okay, so how do we take all of these things that the Newportians want and actually get money to make it happen by putting it into a TSP so that we can go out for grants, we can build projects around what they want rather than just an aspirational, this thing in 2040, here it is in TSP, which is a little bit more concrete. And then it becomes, we pull it out of both of those and it becomes a bigger project and so on and so forth.
Is the primary barrier?
Frequently. The public will is there. The political will is there, sometimes to a lesser degree. Business will is definitely less there than public and political will. It was businesses that, from what I understand, that kicked back the idea against doing a couplet on Highway 101 because they felt, you know, this is going to hurt my business, which is, and I could go on about that one just based on stuff that I've read that, you know, if people are walking in a business district, they're going to stop and shop more.
It only helps.
If they're driving around looking for a parking spot, they're not going to stop and shop. So anybody who's all like, I need parking in front of my, how many times does that parking turn over in front of your store? Have you actually bothered to look to see how many times that parking spot that you think is so critical to your business actually turns over or actually just sits there with one car in it for 3 hours pumping the meter?
Yeah.
And then everybody else just, don't get me started. Do not get me started. I'm an amateur at this, but I'm a dedicated amateur. So
your customers can't even open their door safely when they're parked there.
Exactly. So, you know, my
hold your mirror back.
My argument from the day one when I was on this committee was one of our goals on this committee should be to eliminate on-street parking in Nye Beach, downtown, and the Bayfront. There should be no on-street parking there. And the best way to do that is put some high-priced meters on it. People don't want to pay for the parking. They'll go three blocks away to the Free City parking lot, and then they'll walk down, and then they'll shop more.
I have a bigger aspirational one. Let's move 101.
Yes!
Out of Newport.
That's my other aspirational one, and I can gnaw your ear off about that one because I can give you two examples, one in California, one in Oregon, where you have twin cities. One has done that, one has not. Here it's Cannon Beach and Seaside. We should probably. Down in California, it is Eureka and Arcata. Eureka is very much, 101 runs right through town, and it's a nightmare. Arcata said, no, we're going to segregate 101, and the town is eminently walkable and bikeable. Cannon Beach is the same way. Getting Newport to do that is never going to happen, because that's new infrastructure, and apparently America doesn't build new infrastructure anymore, but Yeah.
That's an interesting segue. I know that we do have to adjourn, but tying...
We have 20 minutes. We have 20 minutes.
We do not have to adjourn. This is committee comments time. It's a really good time to talk about anything you guys want to talk about.
She just likes to shut me down because I will keep going forever.
The passion is appreciated.
Yeah,
So with the talking about the TSP and Vision 2040, I do not have... background in grants writing, but being Army and government, I you know, it's always about tying as much to something quantitative and qualitatively as you can, whether it's personal for promotion or to garner support. And so that's, you know, was my thought.
Metrics.
First of all, exactly. Going back to the comments, you know, for all of this, is there value in us or whomever doing some research into, especially with the new, you know, definitely the two large infrastructure bills or, you know, the that are out there? Yeah, I definitely looked at the bill. And there's quite a bit. I also, and that kind of, I just wanted, not to go down the rabbit hole, because I also go on tangents, what kind of funding source suggestions or something, is there any value to suggesting to the city? Like, I mean, I trust that Derek knows what he's talking about, but like, I don't know, are there things that maybe he just doesn't have time or the mind space to look at? I'm just curious.
Okay, so Herb is compiling a list of grant opportunities, and he's pretty much on it. So I encourage you to work with him or any of you to, if you have ideas, bring them to a bike ped meeting or an email to me. I think Derek's very open to that. I know he is, and he's also very combination of aware and savvy of what's out there. And, you know, as a planning, we've been doing our homework a little bit, kind of following the IIJA Infrastructure Investments and Jobs Act. That's that big money. And it's mostly went to states. And so we are seeking a lot of ODOT program money through ODOT programs. He's also on this really great one called FLAP, Federal. What is that?
Lands Acquisitions.
Access. Federal Lands Access Program. Yeah,
Federal
and
Lands
it's
Access Program.
It's big money. It's in his what he wrote. We will find out about that big money application, grant application that he's done, and he's going to get it because he did his homework. He wrote a real good grant, and so this is at the access to the lighthouse, the Yaquina Head Lighthouse, that whole area, which is a big bike ped mess right now. But it, how much money? I don't remember.
4.7
million. So an example of what he's done
from Ocean View to the lighthouse, right? It's not just the BLM part.
There's a lighthouse.
I think it might include a path from down the lighthouse down Ocean View or to the head of Ocean View, the north end of Ocean View. I'm not sure. But that's an example of him being on top of things. Applying for a grant is kind of complicated. It's not just, you know, it's definitely not free money. We have to demonstrate, like we've said, that there's community buy-in to it. And that also we have, the city has the ability to see it through to the end, either through mostly through subcontractors, but so that... it's a combination, and each one has its own specific goal, each grant program. And so getting that, you know, the mindset of what they want that grant for, And that's what Derek's really good at too, and understanding, reading, you know, why, which grants are going to be awarded in for Newport projects. And he can adjust, now that he has a TSP, he can adjust the projects, you know, get multiple grant programs. He's right now working on the downtown reinvestment, and so that's a state program. So I think I'm pretty confident that we've got a really good system going, but he's always open for suggestions.
And with that said, two of the things that I learned in my experience in the military is, well, more than two probably, I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what other people do know. And every question I don't ask, the answer is no. So I always ask questions because I don't know what information is out there that I don't have. Does Derek know this? I don't know. So I ask him. If he says yes, great, simple. If he doesn't, I've shared something new with him. So absolutely.
Don't be shy to ask Derek or this group.
I'm sure he gets impatient with us. I have no doubt of it, but
he does not.
That's what we're here for.
That's not Derek.
That's what we're here for, is to be that Jiminy Cricket saying, hey, so what about this sidewalk? What about that bike path? What about these sheros? What are we doing about these things? You know, just keep our interests a little more in the forefront of his mind than maybe they might necessarily be if we weren't here clearing our throats, saying what's up.
Even though he shoots everything down.
Yeah. But
there's still potential.
There's still potential, and stuff is moving forward. There are changes happening, you know. We, as a committee, were involved in the discussions on how the stretch of 6th Street from Nye Street down to, Coast Street, Spring Street, whatever, down there at the bottom of the hill, and actually Nye Beach, Coast. We were involved in how we wanted that stretch to change. And for those of you that didn't see it, some of the older members will know what it looked like beforehand, and it was god-awful. But there's sidewalks now. Mm-hmm. We helped make that happen. And we helped make that happen by asking questions and making demands. So yeah, ask questions, make demands.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, don't settle for sheros. Go for the path.
Yep.
Every time.
Get rid of all our sheros.
Get that in a t-shirt.
Yep. No sheros. Robert Moses was wrong. No sheros. Okay. If there's nothing else, then we are a little bit early, but I'd be happy to call the meeting before I do so. However, I will confirm that our next meeting is October 11th at 5:30 p.m., and we look forward to Leanne joining us.
What'd you say? October? September?
Yes, October.
Okay.
This is September, right? Still?
I think you
said September.
Quick,
yes.
Sorry. Did anyone get to go to the Open Streets Corvallis? I couldn't.
I never made it over there.
Not even me. Okay. I really was going to.
That's okay.
We tried.
In future we'll be a little more organized and whatever it takes and get us over there as a group, because that'd be a lot of fun. I'd like to go over there, not as a committee, just as a group of people that happen to know each other. We're not going to talk about any city business.
Right.
Take our bikes over there.
I don't think we're allowed to do that even.
Then fine. We'll meet it. We'll accidentally
wave at
meet
each
there.
Other
don't come after me, legal.
I'm not
even
there.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, and then I will adjourn the meeting at 6:50 p.m. And thank you all for your participation.
Thank you.
And thank you all for your patience with, especially Beth's patience with me this month. I have been a very squirrel brain.
Thank you.
Yeah. When you come to your next meeting, there will be a folder already made for you. You should have all of that in.
I'll just take the contact information.
Yeah.
And for
something, feel free. I'm sure everybody else saying the same. If you have any questions, feel free to email me.
Okay.
I answer the emails better than I do anything else.
All right, so thank you.
Thank you, Leanne.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. He told to talk to me. I give the food. I'm the food.
Oh, okay.
And I think he emailed me and asked me if.
He has a permit for that parking lot?
Yeah, for that space.
Okay.
Specifically that part of the.
Is this the fish truck that's over there? No, just the Georgie, trailer. Yeah, so, because I'm doing, I have to. I live right next to Agnew Beach. Well, I mean, I'm already married, but we're actually doing the ceremony.
Celebrate.
Oh, yeah.
And do the whole wedding thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it was like, we had friends that were gonna get married. So, yeah, so if it's on state property, like, I don't think that would be an additional permit, right?
Oregon Parks and Rec.
Right, okay.
They took that money and did the same case.
Oh.
Because they don't want to manage a small donut every night.
Oh, jeez.
The statement that was put to me was that it doesn't get fully utilized. They're maintaining a parking lot that's not on the school.
Totally.
Oh my gosh. Totally. And so they wanted to turn part of it over to the city.
I know. I was
how was your cruise?
I never knew.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Nice.
You know, I saw it.
Really?
Probably about five times I saw it this summer.
Like,
that it, like,
in the
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so funny, like, last week,
the kids who ride their bike in.
The Ocean View was lined up on that one. It was 25. Like, you'd think that some people would like, roll up, like, oh, I'm not doing that. And then, there's a parking lot.
It's got toilets, for Christ's sake.
And that's what, I was deciding between
I've seen photos and everything. I've talked to the police.
Agate's got like a little, it's tucked in.
I did talk to the police chief and he said, yeah.
I like to be like, I was thinking like that bike train concept, because you could actually